music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Narco-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and hope you enjoyed the show last week with our guest, Dr. Lorraine Day. She's incredible Bible scholar and very knowledgeable about viruses and medicine in general, plus very knowledgeable when it comes to what's false and true in the medical industry. Very, very helpful as far as a guest. But today, I'm going to talk a little bit about Billy's book, The Way to Live, Die Art zu Leben, at the beginning, and then I think we're going to go on to Mach der Gedanken, and then I'll play some clips, of course. I've been playing a lot of clips. There's so much going on. There's so much interesting going on. Alex Jones' latest show is just fantastic. You gotta listen to that. You got to watch that. I hope you've listened to the Lorraine Day interview I did last week. That was another good. She's so knowledgeable about one of the things I learned from that interview was the second beast. You know, you always talk about the first beast in the Book of Revelation, or the ten horns, which are the ten nations, which exist today already, and then there is the first beast is kind of the New World Order, and that's what those ten nations and ten horns talk about. But the second beast is the New World Religion that's coming out, and they're already starting to talk about it. I forget the guy's name who's always talking about it. I don't think I want to remember his name. I don't like listening to him. But he seems to be, if there was ever a single person that was Antichrist-like, he is an example of what I would say would be, you know, the Antichrist is not just one person. There are many Antichrists out there. And I think that I will take this moment to actually turn to the Bible. And I want to read something I've found in Romans chapter 8. It says, "The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed." Now, the question is, who are the sons of God? Is it the people that have believed in Christ? Is it in the book of Job, there's a section that talks about the sons of God. And Dr. Lorraine thinks those could be, she didn't like it when I said extraterrestrial, but that's basically what she was talking about. People on other planets, you know, people that are like pretty much like you and I that are on other planets, except maybe planets where there hasn't been this incredible problem with sin as we have. And I know that I'm, I talk from two different sources, the Bible and then the Meyer information, and the two are supposed to be antithetical, and I just like to pick and choose what I like out of each. I don't know if that's the best idea or not, but it seems like the way I'm going. And I talk a lot about Sfath and Billy, Sfath being Billy's first mentor, first extraterrestrial mentor. I think that's very, very interesting what went on between those two in terms of Edward's life. He has a very colorful life. And all his contacts, Semyase, all of them, Ascot, are extremely, extremely interesting. But I want to stop here and on page 30 in Die Art zu Leben. And this talks about being a friend to yourself. So let me read. It says, human being, whoever and whatever you are, constantly guard yourself against neglecting or even disregarding or disowning your best and truest and closest friend, thus, namely yourself, with whom you are closest always and for all times. Therefore, never neglect yourself and esteem your own friendship to yourself. Be caring, open, and honest towards your inner friend, to yourself, and to your own eye. Constantly concern yourself with never turning your back on yourself, and thus neither on your inner friend, who you certainly always need. Let me read a little something too from real quickly, The Seven Principles of the Aspiring One. It says, you should never allow anxiety, fear, and insecurity in any respect to rise in you, nor allow it to prevail in the slightest way. You should never in any way have the slightest distrust in yourself, nor in any way have the tiniest little doubt in yourself, your personality, and your success. So there's no room for doubt here. Should never allow anxiety, fear, and insecurity in any respect to rise in you, nor allow it to prevail in the slightest way. I use these. And that's from the Seven Principles for the Aspiring One. I rushed past this little verse in Romans chapter 8 too, and I know I'm bouncing around here. It says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Now, it's interesting. The creation in eager expectation, does that mean the creation in the sense of the Meyer case talks about our universe as as the creation or a creation, is that talking about nature in expectation for the sons of God, whoever they are? A very interesting verse, very, very interesting verse. And eventually, I think I'll probably get some information that'll clarify that. But on page 30, we were talking about, in Die Art zu lieben, your best friend, yourself, your inner self. It says, therefore, be constantly on guard, because again and again in the life, there arise situations and moments which quite especially require of you that you remain true to yourself, to your inner friend. These are situations and moments which quite especially bring the requirement that you do not abandon yourself. When everyone else abandons you, these are the situations and moments in your own dealings with yourself, your dealings, and your own I. Anyway, this is just absolutely fascinating stuff. You know, I do like to talk about Billy and his lifetime and his experiences. But I think probably the most important stuff is found in his writings. And here's one from page, before I get to that, let me go to page 100 or 102. Can't remember exactly, 100, 102, in The Way to Live. And it talks about striving. Striving is a creational natural law. It's really why we're here in many ways, is to strive. So let me read a little bit on page 102. Striving means delectation. Delectation is pleasure and delight. So striving means delectation, pleasure and delight, in a form which is always fulfilling and progressive. To be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. So if you're not willing to strive in all areas of your life, whether it's cleaning up your garage, watering your garden, organizing your closet, unloading your car, I mean, you can literally go on and on and on. Any aspect of your life that involves working towards a goal, that's really where your happiness is going to come from. To be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. Affliction is inhibited striving and inhibited life, but inhibited striving and inhibited life bring inhibited evolution and stagnation. So if you weaken your striving, if you inhibit, if you hold back on your striving, then you'll end up with, listen to this, hopelessness and grief, confusion, irrationality, joylessness, cognitionless, unpeace. It goes on and on. If you inhibit your striving, that's what happens. So let me look up the word inhibit real quickly. Inhibit is kind of like meaning to weaken or decrease. Inhibit, to hinder, to restrain, to prevent. Cold inhibits plant growth. Make someone self-conscious and unable to be relaxed in a natural way. His mother's strictures would always inhibit him. I don't know what a stricture is. What does inhibit mean? To prevent or hold back from doing something. Restrain, repress. Fear can inhibit the natural expression of feelings. I think sometimes we get a fear of of working towards a goal, because we know we're going to get tired. We know we're going to deal with difficulty. We're going to deal with stress. So a lot of times we do kind of hold ourselves back. But if you hold yourself back in terms of striving, what does it do? It causes grief and confusion, which I think is kind of fascinating. That's this way that it works. It's almost like your subconscious mind is grieved because you're not willing to put your neck out there and strive towards some goal. Sometimes I kind of literally have to talk myself into it. You know, whatever the striving is that you need to be doing at the time. And sometimes that's a hard thing to find out. What striving should I be doing at this time? Although lately I've been doing quite well in finding what the next striving should be. Now I'm going to look up the word confusion, because that's another side effect of inhibiting your striving. Confusion, uncertainty, lack of understanding, unsureness, indecision, hesitation, the state of being bewildered or unclear in one's mind about something. So you could be bewildered. You could have indecision, hesitation, puzzlement, if you're not willing to strive towards some goal. Confusion, irrationality, joylessness, cognitionless, unpeace, disharmony, lovelessness. So let's look up disharmony as a side effect of not being willing to strive. Lack of harmony or agreement, discord, friction, strife, conflict, hostility, acrimony. Oh, there's an interesting word. Acrimony. Bitterness or ill feeling. Huh. Let me continue, and then we'll jump to something else. Therefore, delectation, harmony, and happiness, as well as everything positive, as well as grief and everything negative, are in the end only the revelation of how pronounced the striving is in any life form. Depending on the degree of the strength of the striving of any single basin, it will assert itself in the world, prevail, or will fail, shatter, waste away, come to an end, and vanish. So, man, if you're not willing to strive, you're going to bring holy hell down on yourself. I'm laughing, but it's probably not funny. Striving does not end with the death, as the human being may assume, because striving is always included in the death. The human being strives for the life and the death at the same time, because the Grim Reaper accompanies the human being to new life and new striving. The death is an interlude between the two lives in the level of the realm of the other world, in which the striving finds its progress and keeps the life alive. As obvious as this is, however, for every single human being who has understood the truth of this law, it is indeed doubtlessly thus that in physical life the striving can be inhibited in all directions at any moment, exactly according to how the morality and the disposition play out in the human being, or which outside influences influence and disturb the human being in his or her thinking and acting, and thereby also his or her striving. Thus, It can even be that where the striving appears to be fulfilled, it turns against itself as a consequence of tribulations, whereby it threatens to suffer a shipwreck. But such happenings can be countered in positive form when the human being strengthens himself through the truth of the creational truth and love, through the fulfilling of the creational laws and recommendations, and thus wisdom collected from true practical experience. Therefore, it is the case that the human being can learn from the unending truth and wisdom and adapt and integrate himself into the following of its laws and recommendations. So one of the recommendations is striving, and thereby becomes so knowing that immense recognition, practical experience, and therefore wisdom enter him or her, whereby he or she becomes master of himself. And who are you going to be master of? Your very best friend, yourself, your inner friend. So, two very profound pages, page 100 and page 102. 101 is German, 102 is English. Since I don't read that much in the German, 100 for the English, which I do need to get back to. So, I don't know if Svath ever talked to Billy about striving. I don't know who... a lot of this information he pulls out of the... what do they call it? I don't remember what they call it. This information is stored at the planetary level, at the galactic level, at the universal level, and all information is out there. If there's a way for you to pull it down, Billy has that ability. And I think maybe to a certain degree, we do to a degree as well. You know, I don't know if you remember this, but there is a Plearen Federation. Now, you remember Billy met with Svath. Svath was not a Pleiadian, although he'd certainly been called a Pleiadian before. The Plearen are the people that Billy has contact with. And there's about a dozen different extraterrestrial humans that have contact with Svath, with the Plearen, I should say. And they go into detail with, you know, the groups that are in this Plearen Federation. I don't think we're evolved enough to be in any of these. Although they've influenced our history, our Earth history. For example, assisted the education of several prophets of truth, truth bringers. Through more recent history, the event timeline. Let's take a look at some of these prophets. Prophets of old times. Henoch, which was 9,308 BC. Eliah, who we call Elijah. Jeziah, who I think we call Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, Edward Albert Meyer. Now, it's really interesting. All of these earlier incarnations of Billy, whether it's Henoch, Eliah, Josiah, Jeremiah. Josiah, who I probably should call Isaiah. All these people were born, these prior personalities of Billy were born in February. February 3rd, February 5th, February 7th, February 9th, February 3rd. Muhammad was born on February 19th. And then Edward Albert Meyer. Now, there are two other Henochs that existed. One existed around 13,500 years ago, and another around 6,000 or 7,000 years ago. The question here on the Future Mankind site, which prophet is right for me, is very kind of a strange question, I think. I guess all of them, if you're open. And there's another book that you might want to get sometimes. It's called Kelk der Wahrheit, or Goblet of the Truth. And there's a lot of, you can download the whole thing, which is a huge book. But it talks about these prophets. These are former lifetimes of Billy, Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. But he was also other people as well, like Galileo, Mozart, and others. So Kelk der Wahrheit's a good book to... There's a section in it called What the Truth Knows to Say. Bushes, trees, stones, rivers, everything that crawls and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form. You should read it. It's really pretty awesome. I haven't spent enough time in that book. But you remember the Giza Intelligences. I'm just kind of perusing around a little bit. The Giza Intelligences, also known as the Bafath. Ask it took Billy below the Great Pyramid to see these people and their ships and all this. The Bafath or the Giza Intelligences use some kind of technology to kind of brainwash the people of the earth. And they also had contact with the Thule Society in Germany, or the Thule Society, depending on how you want to pronounce it, through their indirect orders of the Thule Society by Adolf Hitler, his generals and leading powers, and through many indirect manipulations and distortions of the so-called Bible, which is a collection of religious texts, scriptures, sacred to Christians, Jews, Samaritans, Rastafarians, and others. See Talmud of Emmanuel. The extraterrestrial high technologies that they were using were something called telenotic impulses. So that must be a way to mind control people, I would guess. Long story, the Giza Intelligences were becoming increasingly dangerous and even attacking the Pleiaron themselves. There was a Third World War that it could have occurred, but I don't think has occurred, depending on how you number what wars. Some say we've already had the Third World War. What we call number two is actually number three, maybe. But it's a very interesting look up that sometime. Ask it. I spent a lot of time going over that. That's a fascinating story. It's really interesting to go through Billy's life experiences. And I did some, I have to look up the notes, but I have some really kind of detailed stuff on the Thule Society and in the interactions that these Giza intelligences or Befoth had with some of the Nazis was very interesting. The Giza intelligences transposed via teleprojection apparent realities with visionary experiences into a few people like Dan Fry and Reinhold Schmidt, who they then considered these as reality. So they fooled people with these teleprojections. They also played a major role in the creation of the what they call malicious falsification, which is the New Testament. Which, so here's a conflict for you. A guy that studied Billy Meyer's stuff, and who also studies the New Testament, which Billy considers a malicious falsification. So, I guess I shouldn't be studying two people with such differing opinions. The origin of the Giza intelligence goes back to a time when the civilizations that were cities of Greater Atlantis, Lesser Atlantis, and Mu existed, which was like 113,000 BC. After an age of peace of 1,800 years duration, a group of power-hungry scientists attempted to arrest power over Earth, humankind, but were exiled from the planet when the people rose up against them. The scientists obtained possession of spaceships and fled into a space-time shifted region of Beta Centauri. Beta Centauri is a long way away. It's not Alpha Centauri. Beta Centauri is different planetary system, and it is hundreds of light years away. They returned to the Earth 2,000 years later. Oh, and by the way, space-time shifted regions. Everything that the Meyer information talks about is space-time shifted. Most of all of it. Our universe has these different dimensions, which are space-time shifted. Different dimensions. So there are, for example, Alpha Centauri in our space-time. There's also one that shifted into a different space-time. Beta Centauri is the same way. We have a Beta Centauri that's in our space-time configuration. There's also one that's shifted as well. I think that there are seven of these space-time shifted regions. But I shouldn't talk too much more about that because I don't think there's really that much information there. But I want to continue on these Giza intelligences. Eris the Barbarian was one of these fellows, and he came back to the Earth, caused all kinds of trouble. He was also Eris the First, the Barbarian, and what followed was great bloodshed and war until 1343 BC, when the descendant of Eris First at that time, who was named as Erisane, immensely evil, was exiled by his decent brothers, Ptah and Salam. I think that's the Ptah, too. That's Billy's, or Semyase's father. But again, the evil force returned. The time Erisane and his followers returned at an unknown year and set up a secret base below the Giza pyramids. Deep in the interior of the earth and deep below the pyramids, they established themselves securely, whereby they converted the rooms and constructions deep below the present pyramids of Giza as a center for their wicked purposes, from where they and their descendants since then tried to realize their tyrannical plans, but as of now, without noteworthy success, they've been kicked off the earth. They're not a problem anymore. Although they did a lot of damage What does the Meyer case say about peaceful music? Peaceful music. The website FIGO and the interested community generally recommends harmonious forms of music. Folks should probably calm down before finding all this information and reading it, but it doesn't always happen in that order. You found it now anyway. Enjoy peaceful, tuneful, classical, and pleasant-sounding music while you read, or perhaps when you do other things. Contact Report 613, extract. I enjoyed the television program Melodin for Millennium. Contact Report 634, what today's youth and even many adults today treat themselves to with regards to music is catastrophic and no longer has anything to do at all with good harmonious music. I can say this. When I go into that gym, I know that that music in there, and I'm not saying it's all bad. I would say most of it is bad. But there are still some things that are good. There's a lot of good music out there, too, but we're being programmed with this music. It is no more than explosives, which make the ears deaf and also poison the consciousness, as well as the world of the thoughts, feelings, and psyche, even makes the body sick. I would agree with this. This music that they call music that's playing in a lot of these gyms now, it will make your body sick. Literally, the vibration is not healthy. And I'm not saying that I even like some rock music. I mean, heavy music. But we got to be careful about some of this stuff. I don't see why people like it. I don't see why they enjoy it. Now, and I listen to Metallica, and some of this stuff is way worse than that. Listen, let me read something that Patah says here. Of course I can, and so I want to explain the following. There are many types of music, such as aggressive, frightening, provocative, buoyant, malicious, exciting, humiliating, gloomy, delightful, dangerous, violent, horrifying, harmonious, humorous, jubilant, combative, warlike, boring, lovely, loving, murderous, coercing, unconscious, paranoid, psychopathic, righteous, revolting, creeping, longing, sensual, falling in love, destroying, compelling forms, and other various other species. The power of music in all variations mentioned has an effect on human emotions and makes them vibrate. See, I've just run across something which is absolutely fascinating. I don't know if I can save this as a bookmark. I'll try. I have so many bookmarks. I don't know if you're that way. I have so many. It's ridiculous. It defeats the whole purpose of a bookmark. Anyway, it makes human emotions vibrate. And this is because every kind of music has an effect on the body, the thoughts and the feelings, and thus also the psyche, as well as on the consciousness and the whole mental block, and on the subconsciousness and on the behavior and the action. The situation-related, personality-specific, and music emanate influencing factors. Emanate in relation to music, inherent in the music or contained in the music, must be taken into account. Music does not only shape the human being from birth, but already in the prenatal state, because it touches already in the mother's womb. The becoming human being in the deep inside, developing inner being. When a person is born, music can inspire him even as a young child, as well as an adolescent and adulthood, to composing as well as to physical action and thought, emotional and psychological, as well as mental and thus intellectual and rational peak performances, and can also have a healing and thus a restorative effect with regard to the same factors. So, this sounds like something I could do a whole show on if I learned it well enough. It goes on and on and on. And this is the dilemma of the Meyer material. There's so much of it. It's just phenomenal. It goes on and on and on. So maybe it would be a good time for me to switch over to our clips. I think I'll do that. And let you hear some of the stuff that I've been listening to. Again, there's so much going on in the world. It is just beyond belief. Let me see if I can share my screen. Turn on, share the computer sound. Start sharing. And I think what do we want to start with? I don't know how much of this. We'll listen to some of this. It's called Flyer for Conservatives. They're talking about, I guess there are people that in Christianity that believe they have the gift of prophecy. I was always taught that since the Bible is complete, all the prophecies are complete. You don't really need any other prophets. What's there in Revelation and other books will tell you what's going to happen, I guess. I guess people have different opinions of that, but let's listen, see what they've said. It's Clay Clark and these David and Stacy Whitehead, Battle of the Prophets. Here we go.
And there's common law, and a lot of that is based upon precedent. So they say, well, because this court ruled this way on this thing, then moving forward, everybody else has to follow that precedent. So if I said, hey, I'm hosting a Reawaken America Tour event where Mike Lindell and General Flynn and Stacy Whited and David Whited and Dr. Stella and Roseanne and Jim Brewer and Eric Trump and General Flynn and Cash Patel and Don Trump Jr. and Laura Trump, all these great patriots get together, Dr. Mikovits, Karen Kingston, and then I would say, you know what? Because the facts that we're sharing about what's in the shots or what's going on with our monetary system are difficult to handle for the people who are perpetuating the corruption, we're not going to talk about those things. Well, then pretty soon, you know what we'd have? We would have a typical RNC event.
Yeah, and that's called CPAC.
And that's kind of where my headspace is at. And then there's a five-hour deposition you can watch if you click on the election fraud button. And you got to watch it because I'm not on it, so you're going to love it. I don't say any words at all, so you're going to love it. And when you watch the deposition, it is alarming that the people giving said deposition are in charge of our election systems. I don't know that I would let somebody who admitted to these things under oath, I wouldn't let them run a lemonade stand in a prison if I was managing a prison, serving only to prisoners. Yep. I wouldn't do it. So that's kind of my description of what's going on. And so far, I've spent over $1 million in legal fees. And if you go to timetofreeamerica.com and you'd like to support, I call it fasting for truth. What you'll do is you'll say, I can't afford to donate. Then just don't eat for like a month solid. You'll be fine. And then I think you can go about 40 days before you die. Maybe just go a week or a day or an hour or a meal. But what's happening is we've had about 115,000 of donations so far that have been donated from wonderful people. And you're not really fighting for me, as President Trump says. President Trump's just standing in the way between what he wants to do to us. And so if you support this event, I don't benefit at all financially from a donation. And it goes to pay the attorneys. And many of these attorneys are baffled. They're going, you're being accused of defaming someone who under oath admitted to that which you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, the producer's laughing back there. You can hear this is a good one for him. It's just, it's bizarre. And so that's where we're at, guys.
Man, so you can, when you go there, Colton had it up earlier, you can donate, you can share, you can pray. All of those things are recommended. Exactly. All three are recommended. And I did see on the share, it had 111 shares. That's my favorite number. Deuteronomy 111. And we just pray 1,000 times more friends, funds, favor over you, Clay, in this situation in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's what Deuteronomy 111 says, that God brings you favor and 1,000 times more of it.
So. Clay, I'm going to kind of jump on what you're saying here, because we're in an era where evil is called good. Good is called evil. Mm-hmm. Most of the listeners today, I mean, in your world, probably you've had Facebook posts that you're like, why was that taken off? Because I was saying something that now the CDC says is true. And like a few months ago, I was put in timeout in Facebook jail for saying something that is true. It's like because true is called a lie and lies are called the truth. You know, there's a famous president's son that's made world tours being the bag man, you know, collecting funds and has a laptop showing that he's not even the kind of guy that would even be of the good enough character to work for an election company. Mm-hmm. You know, these kind of people are put in charge and promoted. And, you know, if you're going 5-0 in a, you know, if you're going 70 to 65, you're probably going to get a ticket, because that's what happens to most people. And so we're looking at this going on in the world. And when you follow this kind of organizational chart, you know, there's like Flyover Family and Clay Clark, business owners and people that are kind of taking their kids to school, make sure their homework's done. And there's that group of people. But as you follow this up, it really quickly, when you find out who's the they, it really quickly becomes good and evil.
Yep.
You know, and that's why evil's called good and good is called evil, because those that have right now in this moment, in this season, their hands on the levers of control in the education system, in you know, the majority of faith-based organizations, in a lot of them, not all, but a lot, in
business,
in media for mm-hmm. sure. You know, it's they have a deeper commitment and a higher level of faith in their deities than maybe even you do in your faith. And I want to kind of draw attention to this, because these guys worship, they fast, they make sacrifices, and they have a prophet. Now, one of the most famous sayings in all of Christendom right now is, I disagree with this person, he's a false prophet, false prophet, false prophet. Well, why is he a false prophet? Oh, somebody else said he's a false prophet, and I just like saying false prophet because it kind of is a fun thing to say. And so we don't really know who's who in the zoo, because you use these things loosely. But I want to draw a little bit of attention today to a legitimate prophet of the dark side that is lifted up by that whole side. And then, I mean, we're going to play a clip, Clay, but I don't know if you want to say anything before we introduce it and jump into this.
Fire this off real quick, because I want people to know these facts, okay? The man, his name is Yuval Noah Harari. Here's some fun facts for you. The name Yuval is Jubal in Hebrew. Okay, someone says, why does that matter? Well, Jubal, the first time you read about Jubal is in the book of Genesis. This would be the son of the first sexually perverse person in the Bible by the name of Lamech. So you, and by the way, the name Jubal in Hebrew, Jubal, this is the son of the first sexually perverse person in the Bible, Lamech. Jubal also means father of music in Hebrew. Now, Lucifer was a fallen angel, this beautiful angel, this angel of light, the great musician, right? And so this is the father of music is the name. Noah, the Bible says that Jesus will return, that God will return. And when he does return, it'll be like as in the days of Noah. His name is Noah, and his last name is Harari, which means mountain dweller. So this would be like the father of music is trying to get to the top of the mountain, is what that would mean if it was a statement.
Right.
He's also openly gay. The Bible says that the person who is the Antichrist prophet will have no regard for his fathers. No regard for the opposite sex. It says he'll have no regard for the God of his fathers, and he'll have no affection for the other sex. So he's openly gay. He rejects the God of his fathers. He's Hebrew. And he didn't really show up until the Euphrates River dried up. And so before we play this clip, I want people to know Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Now, just to be very clear, the kings of the east will be Russia and China. And by the way, when the Euphrates River dried up, guess what happened? Guess who showed up? Mm-hmm. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, announcing that they're going to team up to introduce a new currency to remove the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. That happened. So, again, kings of the east showed up when the Euphrates River dried up, and the false prophet showed up on the main stage when the Euphrates River dried up. Now, someone says, well, where did this guy come from before that? Oh, well, before that, you see, Barack Obama read Yuval Noah Harari's book here called Sapiens. And Barack Obama loved the book Sapiens, and Yuval was working on a project called the Gilgamesh Project, and I cannot make this up, where he was trying to merge animals and humans into one species. You might call those chimeras. They call them chimeras. What? Why do I know these things? Also, Yuval Noah Harari is saying, this is what he says out loud. He is saying that he's working on the Gilgamesh Project, which is a project that offers people eternal life. What? So now when the Euphrates River dried up, guess what they're finding in the Euphrates riverbed? Artifacts from Gilgamesh. So this guy is really working hard to get the role of the official Antichrist prophet. That's the role he really, really wants, that role. And so as we play this clip, I just want people to understand 27% of the Bible is prophetic, 73% of the Bible is historical. And if we don't accept that the book of Revelation, it states in just the very first chapter, it states that you'll be blessed if you read this book. And if we look at the book of Revelation, who am I preaching to? Probably myself. But if you read the book of Revelation chapter 1, it says specifically, blessed, versus verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So it's not a bad thing to see the biblical prophetic take place. I'm also saying, just so we're very clear, I don't know the exact timing of things, and I am not, I'm a big Bible guy. I read the Bible. That's where my focus is. And then I look up facts. And I think it's wonderful that we have people like Robin Bullock that are willing to do both. They look at the facts and the Bible, and they share prophetic words that they believe that God is sharing with them. So I appreciate the courage of Robin Bullock to go into the facts, go into the Bible, and then do the triple threat to share what he believes God is sharing with him. God is downloading things for him. So I'm very honored, excited, thrilled by people like Robin Bullock showing up. And I really do hope that the prophets that are speaking out don't stop, because we really need to hear from a gifting that I don't believe God's given everybody. I believe God has given a prophetic gift to certain people, and I believe that Robin Bullock is one of them.
That is so good. We're going to watch this clip, and then we're going to come back to that, because Robin did have some things to say about this. So check this out.
Imagine the politician you most fear in the world. Focus on them. And now ask, what might that politician do with the technologies, with the tools that I am developing? The ability to biologically engineer human beings changes the most basic rules of history. A future Hitler might re-engineer our bodies, brains, and minds so that even if he is defeated in the end, he could leave permanent marks on the DNA and brain structure of future generations.
Mr. Harari, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us tonight. My question indeed is a bit more personal. You've called yourself a prophet tonight, or you use the word,
I repeatedly
the word
denied.
Yeah, well.
I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news.
Yuval Noah Harari, a spokesperson and advisor for the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab's right-hand man, people say, I don't think I've ever seen somebody encompass the Antichrist and the goals of the Antichrist more than this person. This guy is pushing for practically new religions based off technology. He calls and openly says that we're going to be having entities living among us that are not human. And then he's pushing and absolutely supporting in multiple video interviews that we need to be surveyed and have surveillance that is technology implanted under our skin. I mean, it's shocking. And not only that, as you see in the opening clip, he is openly, absolutely, completely against the God of the Bible and against the belief in God.
And I think that fake news have been with us for thousands of years. Just think of the Bible. But there is a concern that...
Which is then very strange, because then he mixes on out of that into saying, well, we're going to have religions that are going to come out of Silicon Valley in the future. Religions of technology. I mean, this guy is so strange. It's like the weirdest thing ever. So for this video, I'm just going to lay out the clips in a certain sequence and not really going to stop off and talk about them really too much at all. Because we all really know the end times is coming. There will be the Antichrist, a figure who will rule in the end. There will be one world government, one world control of government, and one world currency. All of that is going to take place. So just knowing that truth that is all told to us through Revelation, mainly Revelation 13, as well as Matthew 24, we can know those truths and then look and listen at what guys like this are saying and just absolutely see how it's fulfilling that prophecy and moving towards that. I mean, unlike anything before. Again, with this guy, all these other people are like setting these systems up, like pushing these systems in different ways, but this guy is really encompassing it in almost every single fashion of all of those angles of prophecy and pushing and supporting those in every single aspect. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18 says, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." These types of teachings, these open blasphemies and open disrespect against really everyone, not only Christian, but everyone who believes on God on the earth, is really just a sign of the times, a very telling sign, and really pointing towards the last hour. And so now I'll play the sequence of those clips and then briefly talk about it at the end.
The next big projects of humankind will be to overcome old age and death and to basically upgrade humans into gods. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, basically the first thing God does is...
We're going to break now, I think, but this guy, Yuval Noah Harari, is weird. He's strange. See you in 5 minutes.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Freedom's Lips.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
So welcome back to the second hour. In this hour, at the beginning of this hour, we're going to listen to about another minute of Noah Harari, who is the guy that thinks that the New Testament is fake news. I'm not going to comment on that too much, other than thinking that this guy mocks God. And then after that, I think we're going to switch to Dr. Greer on his Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind movie. So let's finish out and listen to Noah Harari. The other thing I don't like about him is he is part of this group that's trying to destroy humanity, basically mucking with our genes and our genome and this mRNA technology, which is really just designed to kill people, from what I've been able to see. So how can I be behind that?
To create animals and plants and humans according to his wishes, we are now trying to gain this divine ability to ourselves. And in a way, we are even reaching beyond what ancient religions ascribed to the gods. Because the gods, like Jehovah in the Bible, they could create only organic beings. If you look, if you're a creationist and you look at the world, so all these animals, all these plants, God created them and they are all organic. Now humans are trying to do better than that.
science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design.
Boy, this guy is hard to listen to. So evil. Now, Dr. Greer.
Something strange is happening. We are living through the most extraordinary moment in human history. After decades of denial and ridicule, government officials and the mainstream media are admitting that extraterrestrial civilizations are visiting Earth. But there's a twist. The same people and institutions who lied about ETs and just about everything else are now framing the extraterrestrial presence as a threat.
And we are seriously thinking of the Space Force.
One man has been trying to warn us about this for decades.
If you're seeing this, it's because I'm either dead or have been entrapped or have disappeared.
Most of us are ill-prepared for open contact with an advanced ET civilization. As our expanding cosmology outgrows our theological institutions, modern human society is spiraling into decadence, narcissism, depravity, and nihilism.
Catch me outside, how about that?
If we want to truly understand ETs, their technology, and their intentions, we have to readdress our assumptions about the nature of reality and our relationship with the physical universe.
On the surface, oh, UFOs are real, there are these machines zipping through the sky. But one of the things I've always said is, well, that's interesting, and it's cool, and it's great to see them. But what's really interesting are the people on board those spacecraft. They're intelligent, they're conscious, they're here, they're interested. Why are they here otherwise? But no one has made the question, how do we develop that relationship with the occupants of the UFOs? That's what this is about. It's going from just sort of a materialistic view, there's a machine flying around the sky, and sort of a superficial view of it, to a deeper truth of who's on board, why are they here? What is their relationship to humanity, perhaps the origins of the human race? What are we to do to create a relationship with them, and how do we do that? What is the foundation of a relationship between humans at this stage of our evolution and in civilizations that are hundreds of thousands to millions of years more developed technologically and socially and perhaps in consciousness? We have to find where that point of commonality is. I have put a briefing together for every president since Bill Clinton, and to the extent that they know anything, it doesn't mean they have control over these covert programs. The unacknowledged special access projects are run in a way that they are outside the purview and control of the president or the Congress. And for that reason, our elected representatives are unlikely to resolve this problem. But we can resolve it by going directly to these civilizations and saying, we're here. You can make contact with us. We're unarmed. We are friendly.
Since 1990, a network of free thinkers and renegades have been bypassing the national security state to make direct contact with advanced extraterrestrial civilizations. Using the Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind protocols, or CE5, developed by Dr. Greer, this has proven to be the most subversive and dangerous information he has released to the public.
Oh my gosh.
Close Encounters of the First Kind consists of visual sightings of an unidentified flying object. Close Encounters of the Second Kind, some physical trace is present, like impressions in the ground or scorched vegetation. Close encounters of the third kind. The occupants or pilots of an ET craft are witnessed. Close encounters of the fourth kind. A human is brought on board an ET craft. Close encounters of the fifth kind. Proactive human-initiated communication with extraterrestrial beings. Most of the phenomena presented in this film were photographed or recorded during a CE5 contact event. For thousands of people, contact has begun. This is their story.
I think I'm going to fast forward this one, and that'll get us over to our Trump clip, which I think the Trump clip is really quite good. He's in Erie, Pennsylvania, I believe, and it's really interesting. But let's finish up here with this Dr. Greer, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. And this is Daniel Sheehan, the lawyer.
Government, like the discovery of an ultimate other, Ronald Reagan, standing in front of the United Nations. He said it right out.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
He was silly enough to say it. You know, that's part of his naivete.
So now, breaking news, Trump ruthlessly attacks the Biden crime family at this rally.
And hundreds of billions of dollars pouring into our treasury right directly from China. They didn't love me too much, but I got along with them. When no other president had ever gotten them to give anything, not a dollar. And when China targeted our farmers, as I told you before, we gave our farmers $28 billion right out of those tariffs that China was paying. Ron DeSanctimonious opposed my China tariffs, and he heartlessly opposed the $28 billion of money that was sent right into the pockets of our great farmers because of the Chinese abuse. You know, China abused our farmers. Very simply, DeSantis sided with the communists in China. I sided with the farmers of America. I think that's good. That's a good trade. A little known fact is that DeSantis, and remember this, when you start off a certain way, these guys will tell you, and they're the same. When you start off a certain way, they believe in low taxes. They believe in the same thing, so it's okay. But when you start off a certain way as a politician, you always go back to that. DeSantis strongly opposed a thing called Social Security, and he wanted the age minimum to be 70, raised up to 70, which is a long way. And he also wanted to obliterate Medicare. Now, he voted at least four times on Social Security to destroy it. He'll get back there. I don't know what he's saying now. I don't think anybody cares too much anymore. In fact, this speech has obviously been very effective because he's gone to hell. But I don't even know why I repeat it, to be honest with you. But, you know, when you kill a snake, make sure the snake is dead. We created the most secure border in U.S. history. built nearly 500 miles of border wall, got Mexico to give us 28,000 soldiers. How about these lightweights? They said, oh, he never got Mexico to give money for the war. I got them to give us 28,000 soldiers free of charge for years. That's why we had the best border numbers in history. 28,000 free of charge. And I said to him, you've got to give us soldiers. No, 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 we will not do that. Oh, we will not do that. No, no, you have to give us soldiers for this because, you know, people are pouring through Mexico. You have to give us soldiers. Long border, one of the longest borders. You have to give us soldiers. No, no, no. I said, but you will. No, no, we will not. No, no, you will. 100%. And a person from the State Department, a woman, a good woman, she was so used to being turned down from Mexico, by Mexico, for years she was turned down. They said, sir, they will not do that. I've been trying to get that for 25 years. I said, let me do it. I said, we'll get it 100%. What else do you want? And they said, remain in Mexico. I'll get you that too. What else do you want? And we got all these different things, catch and release into Mexico, not into the U.S. So I said, give me your 10 hardest things. They gave me the 10. I said, I'll get all of them. So the man came in to represent Mexico, top guys right under the president. And again, I really do like the president. I like this gentleman too. And I said, you have to give us 28,000 soldiers for the border. No, no. Well, he left. He thought I was like, is this guy crazy or what? I said, no, no, you'll give them to us. No, no, we will not. Why would we do such a thing? Because people are pouring through your country and they're coming in and they're poisoning our country. They're destroying our country. No, 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 we will not do that. I said, yes, you will. No, you won't. I said, here's the story right before me, and I had it. It was a Thursday. I said, on Monday morning, I'm giving you a long time, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I think it's at 8, you will be charged a tariff of 25% on all cars and all Mexican product coming into the United States. No, 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 that is not right. I said, no, it is right. Either we get the 28,000 soldiers or that's what's going to happen. May I be excused? I'd like to call somebody. Who? The president. He called the president, came back in 5 minutes. We would be, he just said this, these words, sir, we would be delighted to give you 28,000. It would be our great honor. We are great on that. So then you have all these dopes saying, he didn't get the money for the war. I got much more. I got much more. And we then negotiated where we had to remain in Mexico. They had to remain here. They would take people that we didn't know anything about. They'd go into the United States, would never find them again. I said, we want remain in Mexico. And we did that. We got remain in Mexico. And we deported illegal alien gang members, MS-13, by the tens of thousands we got them out. We appointed over 300 federal judges and three great Supreme Court justices. And if you look at what's happened over the last, fellas, over the last 2 weeks, the Supreme Court has really, really done a job, including the fact that if you have great marks and you've worked hard and everything else, you're going to get into college, not somebody that's done very poorly and getting in for the wrong reasons, you know. Who thought that that was ever going to happen? Who thought that was going to happen? You're a great student if you deserve to get in there on merit. It's called the merit system. We're back to a merit system because of me and because of the justices. And last year, those justices ruled to end Roe v. Wade. And now, very tricky politically, you have to speak about it properly, very tricky politically. And now pro-lifers have a tremendous power to negotiate, which they didn't have before the termination. This moves the issue. I want to talk about this issue quickly because this moves the issue back to the states where all legal scholars on both sides felt it should be. And like Ronald Reagan, I support exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. I support that. Rape, incest, and the life of the mother. And you have to go and be ruled by your heart. But I think it's very difficult to win if you don't support those exceptions. I do. I don't even know what you guys are doing. Maybe I don't want to ask. I don't know. But I think it's very hard to win if you don't support. Really, Reagan did it. I did it. I did. I ran against Hillary. You remember that famous evening? I said she'd be willing to rip the baby out of the womb in the 9th month. And even she winced at it. because remember this, the Democrats are the radicals on this issue, not us, because they're willing to kill babies in their fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth month, and even after birth. Even after birth, they're willing. So they're the extremists. And if you speak about this issue properly, and what you really have is now that it's been terminated, you have a tremendous power to negotiate something that's fair for everybody. But nobody wants to see babies killed, but nobody wants to see them killed in the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth and ninth and after birth. So if you can turn that issue around, you're going to make that issue a great issue instead of an issue where we lost, because we had a lot of politicians running that had no idea how to talk about that issue. They were afraid of that issue. And these guys know how to talk about it, but you had a lot of politicians that didn't understand it. They knew we had a victory, but they didn't know how to handle that victory. And now they do. They are the radicals, not us. I fully rebuilt the U.S. military, created Space Force, defeated ISIS, and brought our troops back home. I was the president, first in decades, who didn't start a war. Remember, Hillary used to say, he's going to get us into war because of my personality. She said, he's got the personality type. No, I've got the personality type that kept us out of wars. But that was only the beginning. Here are just some of the bold agenda items that we'll immediately implement when we become 47th president of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after we all together win the presidency, we will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. It will be settled. The war is going to be settled. I'll get them both. I know Zelensky. I know Putin. It'll be done within 24 hours. You watch. They all say, that's such a boast. It will be done very quickly. I will totally obliterate the deep state. We got to get it out. We did a big job. I got rid of Comey. I got rid of a lot of crap. But we will get rid of it. And I will say no to the 87 IRS agents who want to take your money, and much, much more than that, they want to weaponize the IRS, just like they've weaponized the Department of Justice and the FBI. I will end the disaster known as Bidenomics. You know, that was supposed to be a negative term. He liked the name so much, he's going around saying how wonderful it is. If you love inflation and a bad economy, let's go for it. Since taking office, Joe Biden has wrecked our economy. Home ownership has been pushed out of reach for millions and millions of Americans, with the rate of a 30-year mortgage up 150%. Think of this, 157% actually percent since I left office. Real wages collapsed 26 months in a row. And typical Americans have seen their incomes crushed by more than 6,000. That's the people in the room, everybody. $6,400 a year income crushed since Biden took office, and that's having to do with many, many factors, many, many factors. But think of that, $6,400 a month's wages on average. And I have some slides brought out by some fantastic people. Where is Steve? Where are those slides? Where the hell are they? There they are. So we went up $6,400, and Biden lost $4,000. Think of that. Workforce participation falls after Trump leaves office. All you have to do is look at the lines. The disaster. Approval of the economy is three times higher under Trump than it is under Biden. Or sometimes we call him O'Biden, because I think maybe Obama's calling the shots. Mortgage rates are twice as high under Biden than they are under Trump. So the mortgage rates have doubled and going higher. Gas prices more than $1.50 per gallon more. Look at that chart. Look at that chart. It's crazy. Biden slashes oil production by 1 million barrels a day. You don't want that happening, but they want to go to that number. See what that number is? That's the worst number anybody's ever seen. They want to bring it down to zero. We're standing on liquid gold. We're going to repay our debt. We're going to lower taxes further. Anybody want these? Here, these are some numbers. As your president, I will quickly rebuild the greatest economy in history. We will stop Biden's inflation nightmare. I will end Joe Biden's sick crusade to destroy Pennsylvania energy. I will defend Pennsylvania energy jobs and will end the war on fracking. Fracking, big deal in Pennsylvania. We will again put America first to bring back the jobs to Pennsylvania. I will impose a border tariff on all foreign-made goods. We want our products to be made in American factories, not by factories overseas. We want American workers working. I will also pass the Trump Reciprocal Trade Act. So that would mean that if India, China, or any other country...
I think that's pretty much, you got them... Got the idea on this campaign rally, which is, I think, a pretty good little discussion with Trump. It's good to hear him. Now we're going to go to Joe Biden and why Joe Rogan should interview Trump. And we've got a guy, Bette David, who convinces Joe Rogan to interview Trump, allegedly. I'm not so sure Joe's really convinced, but here we go. We're going to finish up with Trump and then move on.
To the tow truck business. Because you'll be towing people all day long.
Here we go. Joe Rogan to interview Trump. We think. Still waiting for this to start up. Here we go.
I don't know. Maybe.
Looks like you got something.
Maybe.
Okay, good. That's good. I think that's...
At a certain point in time, it's just like... It would be interesting to hear his perspective on a lot of things. I would like to know, what is it like when you actually get into office? I would like to know things like, what is it like versus perception?
Yeah.
What is it actually like when you get in that building? Like, what are you greeted with? When do you know that people are fucking with you? When do you know that the intelligence agency is lying to you? Like, when you decided to fire Comey, what was the thought? How much did you know? Like, what's the machine like? What is the deep state really like? Really like? Because we have all these, you know, smoky room perceptions, like from the Bill Hicks joke, where they show you the Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. You know, what is the machine that runs this country? Because it's very clear that it's not as simple as elected representatives that are doing the will of the people. It's not.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing you and Trump together.
Yeah, you keep pushing that.
I think, okay, I'll tell you from my perspective, like, on why you ought to consider it when you do it. I'll just give you my...
Okay.
Just so you know, he and I don't speak. You know, it's not something that is like, hey... His camp saying go in there and do this and do that. Now, I've never interviewed the guy, so it's not like I'm, you know, lobbying for it. But I think if, you know, when you think about sports or you think about fights, what is the boxing world if Frazier Ali never happens, right? What is the UFC world if DC John Jones doesn't happen or Khabib Conor doesn't happen? And they're both at their peak, and those fights don't happen. We can go on with sports, you know, with baseball, with, you know, interviews of Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jackson. You know, you go look at, you know, some of these things that happen with Larry King or her and, you know, a bunch of different guys. He's a guy that's probably the most misunderstood by a side. And a guy that...
How do you think he's misunderstood? In what way?
I think the media has really painted this guy to be evil. I like to talk to people I fully disagree with. And I think they're delusional in certain areas to understand, like, what makes you believe what you just said?
Right.
Like, I don't understand what you just said.
Right.
Tell me how you could be that convinced you're right. Right?
Right.
Cenk was on the podcast yesterday. And... Cenk is convinced he's a better businessman than Trump. I mean, how could you say something? But he's convinced. And he says, no, he's a loser. Trump's a loser. I said, dude, what do you mean? There's only two things he's won in his life. I said, there's only two things he's won in his life? Yes. Yeah, there's only two things he's ever won in his life. And this is the second time Cenk and I have having a conversation together. Politically, we're on very different sides. I'm just trying to find out, why do you think this way, Brian? And he says, yeah, only two things. He's a great marketer, and he did this. I said, first of all, 15 years, you know, apprentice. Good luck. Go do. No, he had great producers. I don't care if you have the greatest producers in the world. You can hire any producers Joe has and go try to match Joe's numbers with podcasts. Yeah, because it's his producers. No, it's a lot of work. 15 years. Book, how many years does Art of the Deal does? Well, yeah, but Pat, imagine if you started with $430 million. You would have been richer than him today. I said, $430 million. What's this $430 million? He got $430 million. Are you like counting in today's money versus, well, you know, it's estimated this. Okay, he got a million. He got $14 million. No problem. He got family money. I'm willing to make the case that you are more likely to screw up your life if your family gives you money. He says, what do you mean? Yeah. I said, so I went and studied. I got four kids now. We're going, you know, we've done estate planning multiple times, but now I just sold the insurance company, so I have to sit there and see what am I going to be doing with some of this money that came out of nowhere? Goldman, Morgan, estate planning. Do we do this? Do we do that? Let's go study. We put our research team. Go find out who did it right out of all the families. Okay. The Medici family, seven generation, they kept the wealth within the family. What are they doing? And boom, 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 boom. Great. Vanderbilt family, the money lasted one generation, maybe two. Like when, you know, Anderson Cooper's mom's like, look, we're Vanderbilts, but you ain't getting nothing. You got to make your own money, right? Okay. You know, the Rockefeller family, they're at three or four. Okay. We can go through all these families. Most of them that get a lot of money, the kid becomes a what? Drug addict, drug dealer, yeah. Spoiled. They don't work. They're right. Not this. They're not that. Right. Okay. So let's just say he did get the money. And he still doesn't do drugs, and he doesn't do alcohol, and his vice is women, and he works his ass off in business, and he makes it where he makes it to. Yeah, it's very easy to make the argument that actually if you do come with money, it's a harder life than a person that doesn't get money to have that drive and ambition. Not necessarily it's a harder life to have that right. Fire, the ambition that, you know, right. You got, you can't teach that. You either got right. It or you don't have it, right? Okay. So then we go into politics. So let me get this straight. This guy wins in New York. He becomes a billionaire. He wins on TV. He's won with women. He's partied with everybody. In 1988, he's doing an interview with Oprah Winfrey, and Oprah Winfrey says, hey, you sound like you're going to run for office. No, I have no interest, but if I ever did, I'd win. Okay. Then he runs. Everybody thinks it's just a marketing deal that he's doing. And then when he wins, I don't know if you remember when he walked down, he's like, even him and himself, they were kind of like surprised. Babe, we just won.
Right.
And the day before, the odds were if you bet $100, you know, you'd have to bet $350 to win $100 on Hillary. But if you bet $100, I think you win $550 with Trump or some number like that. The underdog won, the greatest underdog of all time of politics, right? Okay. So let's fast forward 20 years from now. Let's go to 2043. We're doing a podcast. You're 75. Okay. I don't know if you're doing podcasts, but that'd be one hell of a podcast at 75. And maybe we feel a little bit more comfortable coming out at that time because we're traditionalists, we're older generation. Then maybe we're a little bit more careful about what people think about us right now. But at 75, we look back and we look at the list of podcasters. Who are the greatest podcasters of all time? Joe Rogan at the top. GOAT. Who's the greatest? This, that. And it's like, dude, but he never interviewed that guy, Trump. I'm going to be like, what are you talking about? Wait, let me get this straight. The greatest podcaster of all time never interviewed Trump at a time that he didn't do that? Dude, that's crazy. I don't believe it. Why not? It had to be personal. It had to be this. So to me, I think the guy that's going to interview him in a way that nobody else is going to interview him, you. You're going to ask some questions that you want to know about. Like, you know, hey, what happened with JFK? Are we really going to find out? Can you commit to us? Are you going to come out with the files or no? So I really want to know. Last time you said you did, but you only gave us 80%. Are we going to get the other 20%? Aliens. What the hell is going on with these aliens? Are we going to know or no? Can you give us a glimpse? Do you think we should know?
I don't think he'd tell you anything about that.
But what I'm saying,
I think that would be a waste of time.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is whatever angles you choose to take,
right?
Okay, it's your show. You get to take whatever angles you want to take. I think it'd be very weird to look back. There's going to be no mainstream media 20 years from now. You know that. I know that. To look back and say Joe never interviewed Trump, that's kind of weird. So that's my pitch to you.
Good. I like weird.
You like weird?
I like things when weird.
I don't know about that. I think one.
Why don't you interview him?
Why don't I interview him? I think if I give you my assessment on why.
Have you ever tried?
I'll give you my assessment on why I think.
Okay.
I think if he's him, okay, you're here, Joe. Everybody else is below you. In this space, not mainstream. In mainstream, he'll do Tucker. He'll do, you know, Megyn Kelly, whatever. I don't know if he's done Megyn Kelly. He hasn't done it, but he'll do Tucker. He'll do Brett Baer. He'll do Hannity. He'll do all that stuff. But in this lane we're in, you have to do you first. Then comes everybody else. He can't do that. So I think we come after you come. If I'm his advisor, I would advise him. You can't go to anybody else unless you go to Joe first. And I'm telling you from a perspective of if I'm his counsel, I would say you go to Joe, then you go XYZ. Everybody else is XYZ Joe. You're Joe. Everyone else is XYZ. Okay. And I think he knows that. And I think the person in control right now is not him. It's you. Like the person in control with Hunter is Hunter's camp, not you. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, whoever gets to say no, they're in control.
Right.
So, but from your perspective, what's going on in America today? I would say if you don't do the podcast with him, you're helping the establishment and you're helping John and Joseph Biden. I think you're helping that person. That's kind of weird. Mm. But indirectly in your mind, you're helping Joseph Biden win by not interviewing Trump.
Did you come on this podcast specifically to try to get me to interview Trump?
No, you brought up Trump multiple times. I never brought it up.
It seems like you did. I think you...
Okay. I think the next one that should come on will be about Dr. Lorraine Day. She's going to talk about drug medications. If they're good for...
Carbs are bad. No. God gave us a high carbohydrate diet. Fruits, grains, and vegetables are carbohydrates, but they all contain some protein. All fruits, grains, and vegetables contain protein. Lemons are 16% protein. Spinach is 45% protein. Lettuce is 40% protein. So God gave us all the protein we need in fruits, grains, and vegetables. We don't need to eat the carcasses of dead animals to get our protein. God gave us our protein in the fruits, grains, and vegetables. But we are meant to eat a high carbohydrate diet, not Twinkies and Ho-Hos, but fruits, grains, and vegetables, which are natural carbohydrates.
What about pizza?
Does pizza grow in your garden?
No, it doesn't. But some of the ingredients do.
Well, yeah, there's some of the ingredients in strychnine grow in your garden, too.
You know, I've heard that there's actually trace amounts of nicotine in some vegetables.
Well, there are things like in almonds. In almonds, there are things that can be dangerous to you if they're taken out of the way God made them. But when they're put in the way God made them, they are not only not harmful, they are helpful to you. So you can't take God's food apart. You have to eat it the way God made it. But right. See, all of these people who make supplements, they take the food apart, but they don't take it from regular food. Supplements are made from some of the most disgusting things imaginable, from toxic cow livers and sewage sludge, and they get the vitamins and minerals and make these supplements from them. And if you had any idea where they came from, you wouldn't want to put them in your mouth. But God made food. He didn't make supplements. He made food. And we're supposed to eat the food the way God made it, not the way man takes it apart or puts it together.
So you probably don't like the whole vitamins thing then, right?
When I developed cancer, you know, I developed a breast cancer in 1993. which became worse and worse. And I tried, I refused all orthodox methods. I refused chemo, radiation, and mastectomy. And I tried all these. I started out by taking a lot of supplements. It caused my tumor to grow because they're not natural. And I tried 40 different types of alternatives. I go through them. I have a DVD called Sorting Through the Maze of Alternative Medicine, What Works, What Doesn't, and Why. I go through 60 different types of alternatives. I show you none of them work. A few of them worked 80 years ago. They don't work anymore because life is too stressful. People are eating too bad. They've got too many things going on in their life. But I got well by God's way only, not by going to a naturopath, not by taking a bunch of supplements. I tried 714X. I tried the Rife generator. I tried ozone. I tried all sorts of things. I went to 4 clinics in Mexico. None of them worked. I just kept getting worse and worse. The last 6 months of the 2 years I was getting worse, I was bedridden. At one point, I was not expected to live through the night. And here I am. It took me 18 months to get well once I learned God's way of getting well. It took me 18 months to get well. So I was off of work for 3.5 years with cancer. And I've been well ever since. This is 30 years since 1993.
So cheese is bad. Cheese is a no-no.
Well, cheese comes from animals. Animal products contain all the hormones. When you eat an animal, you're eating their hormones. You don't need extra hormones. Extra hormones help encourage the growth of cancer. And many of these animals have diseases, and they have been given hormones themselves to make the animals produce more milk. The cows produce more milk. So you're eating not only the animal's hormones, but all the hormones given by the rancher. And so there are cheeses, if you want to have cheeses, there are cheeses that are made from almonds and things like that that you can get at health store that are really very good. You can get cream cheese made from non-dairy things. There are many things you can get from non-dairy things that are made from much healthier things than taking it from the animal that has been given hormones and has many diseases.
And what about almond milk?
Almond milk, again, that's a good milk. Again, your body needs water. You can drink some almond milk if you want. That's certainly a lot better than drinking cow's milk, a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. If you see what they do with cow's milk, when they milk the cow, then they have to put it through a special filter to get the feces out because the animal has been given so many hormones that it has diarrhea, and frequently a lot of that gets into the milk. So you have fecal contamination of the milk. That's one reason they pasteurize it.
Would the prions or the prions be in the milk as well?
Well, that's a whole other thing. The prions are not the cause of mad cow disease, even though the Nobel Prize was given to a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, who was a resident with me at UC San Francisco, and did part of his work in my laboratory at UC San Francisco. He won the Nobel Prize for identifying the prion as the cause of mad cow disease. The prion does not cause mad cow disease. The prion is present when a person has mad cow disease. If you'll give me a few minutes, I will explain all this.
Sure.
This will get to the subject of viruses and bacteria. If you see a lot of firemen at a fire, did they cause the fire? No.
No.
They're there to fix the problem. If you see a lot of EMTs at a horrific accident on the freeway, did they cause the accident? No. They're there to fix the problem. If you see pigs and rats and insects at a garbage pile, did they cause the garbage pile, or are they there cleaning it up by eating it? Well, the answer is they are cleaning it up. So just because you're there does not mean you did it. I want to make that very clear. Just because you're there, like the firemen and the EMTs, doesn't mean that you are the cause of the problem. So God has given us scavengers on the earth. If we did not have scavengers on the earth like vultures and pigs and rats, then all the dead animals and all the fecal and waste material would never be taken away from the earth. God gave us the scavengers to eat up the filth of the earth. That's why God says in the Bible that you're not supposed to eat scavenger animals. You're not supposed to eat the pigs because they eat filth. You're not supposed to eat bacon because it's filth and it can give you disease. Mm. So when God says don't eat it, he has a reason for it. It's filth. Don't eat it. Don't eat lobsters. Don't eat clams. They're filthy. They eat up the filth on the bottom of the sea floor. They are the scavengers of the sea. Don't eat them. Oh, but I like my bacon. I love my bacon. Well, don't eat it. It makes you sick. All right? It is unhealthy. So he means it when he says it. Now, God has given us scavengers on the earth, scavenger animals. God has also given us a system of scavengers in our body to clean up the mess that is caused by the way we live, think, act, eat, and handle stress. When we live, think, eat, and handle stress wrong, we create bad stuff in our body. God has given us germs to clean up the mess. Germs don't cause disease. They are there to clean up the mess. We have a microbiome. Everybody knows about that now. They know about probiotics. The microbiome is about 10 to 100 million bacteria in our intestine. They are good. Doctors say they are good. All right? But out of that 30,000 different types of bacteria of the 10 to 100 million we've got in our colon, only less than 200 cause disease. Well, what makes one bacteria good and another bacteria bad? And here's what the stupid medical system says. Oh, when you eat wrong and you live wrong and you don't get enough sleep and you are too stressed, you don't cause disease in yourself. What you do is you affect some of the bacteria and they turn on you and they cause disease. Well, they are dead wrong. All the bacteria are good. We actually make bacteria. We make bacteria. There is a cycle, and this was discovered long ago. It was discovered by the opposition to the guy who came up first with the vaccines, Pasteur. Pasteur was not a doctor, by the way. And
really?
He was not a medical doctor. He was not a medical doctor. And he was a liar as well. And he came up with the whole vaccine thing, which was the beginning of a mess. And so his opposition was, there was Pasteur and his opposition, I'll think of his name. And he said, no, germs don't cause disease. Pasteur said germs cause disease and we've got to have vaccines for them. And his opposition said, no, they don't cause disease. And he said, they're called microzyma. The body makes germs and they're there for our benefit. They are there to clean up the mess. And he called them microzyma. And the body produces these microzyma. And when the body needs a particular kind of germ, whether it is a cocci, which is a round germ, or a rod, which is a long germ, that the body makes the kind of germ you need to clean up the mess. And so this was also confirmed by Gaston Naissons in Canada, who I visited a number of years ago and spent a whole afternoon with him in his lab. He called those same things somatids. The body produces somatids. Now, you can only see these under a dark field microscope. It is interesting that in all of my years in medicine, medical doctors never look in a dark field microscope. They only look in a light microscope, or they look in an electron microscope, neither of which will show these microzyma, which are also called somatids, only in a dark field microscope. Naturopathic doctors work in dark field microscopes. They know these things exist. We make them in our body. So we produce the bacteria in our microbiome. We produce them. Now, people say, well, when a baby is born, how does a baby get its microbiome in its intestine, these good bacteria? You say, well, when it comes through the birth canal. Well, what if a baby is born by C-section? They say, well, then it gets it through mother's milk when it nurses. Well, what if a baby's born by C-section and doesn't nurse? How does it get it? Well, we don't know. Well, the thing is, you have to buy them from a cow or you buy them made in the lab. Those are probiotics. No, the body makes the bacteria. And it is the cycle of three, like the microzyma, the somatids, unless we have a problem. And then it goes into a larger cycle where it can make a bacteria in a rod or cocci form, or it can make yeast. Now, when the body gets so sick that that somatid will turn into a prion, and it just signifies that the body is so sick it can no longer be spared, and it makes something that is that can try to right the situation, but by that time the body is gone, and that's when you get the dementia and they die of what they call early Alzheimer's. A person can die at a relatively young age within a couple of years. And when you eat the diseased animals, such as they have mad cow disease, what causes mad cow disease? Well, they are feeding dead sheep to cows. Well, cows are, God created them to be vegetarians. They're supposed to eat grass. But when you feed them the dead animals like the sheep, then they become sick and they get mad cow disease. Now, the prion appears because it's there to try to clean up the mess, but it's too late. With the sheep, they get scrapy because they're feeding sheep dead animals too. They feed sheep and cows and the dogs and cats. They're feeding dead animals from the pound and roadkill and all this crap that they're getting together because it's cheap. And the animals are supposed to eat grass, but they're feeding them what they call protein pellets or something. And they're just the ground up dead animals that are euthanized at the pound or that are roadkill, and this is what they're feeding the animals that you're eating. These animals are supposed to be grazing on grass, but they're not. And so they're getting this disease. And so then when you eat them, you'll get the disease too. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is not that the prion causes it. It is that what you're eating and the way you're living is causing your disease. The prion is there to try to help you. But even my friend who won the Nobel Prize for it, he doesn't even know that.
Dr. Day, we've got about 4 minutes left, I believe. Did you want to tell people about your website, your Bible study, your books?
Sure. I have two websites, drday.com, which is mainly contains health, but it also contains all of my books there. I've written 15 or 16 books now, and I have a number of DVDs as well. Show you how to get well from cancer. Not only before I was diagnosed with cancer, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. When I got well from cancer, all my Parkinson's symptoms went away too. That shows you that God says, if you follow my laws, my commandments, my decrees, I'll keep you free from every disease. So I have my books there and a lot on health. And I've got another website called goodnewsaboutgod.com where I have over 10,000 articles, political articles, all organized in a fashion by a topic. And you can also see many books there as well. You can get to both the Bible study. I have a Bible study every Monday night that's free at 6 o'clock Pacific time. If you're not able to watch it at that time, you can go on my website, either one, and watch the videos. They're all put up there. I've got at least 90 of them that are free. You can look at them at any time. I also have in the spiritual truth section of my website at Good News About God, I have over 350 text Bible studies that are on different subjects than the video Bible studies. So you've got, you could spend months there. I've also got a reading list there that contains at least 50 books. In my library at home, I have at least 2,000 books that I have read. But these are 50 books that are very critical for what's going on in the world right now. You can go there. And so you have plenty of information to learn. And my one of my most recent books is When Is Jesus Coming, which I show you where we are in time now and when the time of trouble will start and what will signal that beginning of the true time of trouble. And then how many years we have from the beginning of the time of trouble. We will just have 3.5 years plus 75 days before Jesus comes. So whenever they ban the Bible, that will be the beginning of the time of trouble. And then I have my book on the deliberate destruction of America and the world, who's doing it and why, which contains all the political information that you need now and showing how prophecy is right now being fulfilled. And we are in the end times and soon to begin the real time of trouble.
Is it the tribulation months away then?
The tribulation, the true time of trouble is probably within 2 years of starting. It may start at any time, but it probably will start within 2 years. Yeah.
Wow. Question about those cows. Are the cows still eating dead sheep?
Yes.
So does the mainstream understand that that's causing mad cow?
No.
Oh, so no one's been able to convince them of that?
The mainstream is totally controlled.
I gotcha.
They do what they're told.
Well, I think we're coming down right to the end here with Dr. Day. And I went ahead and played last week's, the first part of last week's show. Surely enjoy having Dr. Day on the program. She's got a lot of knowledge, a lot of background. It's definitely a pleasure. And I think we're out of time.
Thank you. travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday.